This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, Shamrock Rovers concede late on to put their Europa Conference League future in doubt as they drew 1-1 with Coops. Bohemians, Derry City, Drogheda United, St Patrick's Athletic, Dundalk, Galway United, Sligo Rovers and Waterford are all in action tonight in the League of Ireland. And the Premier League is back as the champions Arsenal take on last season's championship winners, Coventry City. But first, Shamrock Rovers are held to a 1-1 draw in Tala by Finnish champions Coops in the Europa Conference League playoff clash. Former Ireland defender Enda Stevens put the hoops ahead 5 minutes into the second half before the Finns equalised late on. Speaking to their in-house media channel, head coach Stephen Bradley says that it was a slightly frustrating night for his side.
Some of us really good. We're obviously a little bit frustrated. We had the one off the post hasn't gone. We had one or two other half chances. They obviously had spells in the second half as well, which we knew they would. But some was really good.
It's a busy evening ahead in the League of Ireland Men's Premier Division with four games down for decision. Shamrock Rovers against Shelburne is the missing fixture owing to the Hoops' continued exploits in Europe as the chasing pack tried to keep the pressure on Stephen Bradley's side. After ending the Hoops' FAI Cup defence last Sunday, St Patrick's Athletic will look to build on that when they journey up the East Coast to take on Drogheda United. There's a meeting of last and eighth spot as Sligo Rovers look to cut the 6-point gap to Waterford when they welcome the Blues out west. Two teams that will be on the wane over recent weeks meeting loud as Dundalk host Galway United, and our live commentary game sees Bohemians host Derry City at Dalymount Park. Ben Symes will be joined by Vinnie Perriton at Gantry, and you can listen on Off The Ball on News Talk from 7 o'clock and on the Go Loud app. Kickoff is at 7:45. And it's a busy night in the League of Ireland First Division. Finn Harps are at home to Cove Ramblers. UCD travel down to Kerry. Treaty United host Cork City in an all-Munster clash, and Athlone Town travel to Wexford. All games kick off at 7:45. Yesterday, Troy Parrott sealed a move to Spanish side Real Betis from AZ Alkmaar. Reports say the fee is in the region of €20 million for the former Belvedere player. The Republic of Ireland striker is said to have intimated that the La Liga outfit were his preferred destination after weeks of speculation. Parrott landed in Seville yesterday afternoon and signed a 5-year contract that will run until 2031, with Betis announcing his arrival on Thursday evening. Having finished in 5th place in La Liga last season, Betis will be playing Champions League football this year, a factor that is believed to have swayed Parrott to make the move. And at Thursday's Off The Ball breakfast, Spanish football expert Graham Hunter explained why working under Manuel Pellegrini could be great for Parrott's development.
It would be a wonderful signing. Number one, for your perspectives, he would be working for a coach who makes players better. He has a gigantic reputation and proven record, Manuel Pellegrini, for improving footballers. And Troy, if he signs, will be playing for a proper soccer playing team. It'll be very, very tough for them to compete for the cup and for decent La Liga position, although every season of Pellegrini they've finished in Europe, which is a record. Nobody's ever done that in the history of Betis before. The Champions League this season, he will play in a stadium which has been rejigged and is quite nice, and a huge audiences. He'll be playing in front of his biggest audiences in green and white, even compared to playing at home matches in Dublin. I've listened to him and watched him a little bit. I'm deeply impressed by him. I'm very excited by it. I really hope it happens. And I think he'll enjoy his soccer there. It's one of the moves, yeah, I'll be really excited about. Let's see if they can get it over the line. They're not the wealthiest club, Betis. Not the wealthiest club at all, so.
And remember, you can listen to Off The Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. The Green Scene are back this week talking all things Irish football, and myself and Matthew Brennan spoke around the excitement of Parrott's move to one of Spain's biggest clubs.
It's Troy Parrott.
Yeah.
And it looks as though Real Betis, Seville, is going to be his destination. For me personally, I think this is one of the best outcomes we could have had.
Oh, I like it. I like it. How long did you think about that one?
I said it on the show yesterday and I wanted to use it again.
We talked about Parrott's possible transfer all summer and even before that. Eventually we've got there to, he's at a club where, okay, they're not the elite European team, but they have European pedigree. They played in Europa League. They got to Europa Conference League final a few years ago where they lost to Chelsea. And that's probably Real Betis' level. They obviously got to the Champions League last year, finishing fifth. He's going to play in a team where he doesn't have to compete with too many other attacking players. Cucho Hernandez is there, the Colombian. look, okay, the extreme elite of European clubs are playing in the Champions League, and Betis are on, you know, the precipice of that, where they're probably, you know, in a 36-team Champions League phase. If they finish in the top 24, they've been doing really, really well. If they finish, let's say, 27, 28, like, that's pretty good. He's going to play 8 games in the Champions League, if he's selected, obviously. He has 2 games away to, 1 away to Barcelona, 1 away to Real Madrid. He's going to play the Camp Nou. He's going to play the Bernabeu. He's going to play the Wanda Metropolitano against Atletico Madrid, which is the host of the Champions League final this year as well. It's just a really, really exciting move. I think loads of Irish people are going to fly out to Seville and fly out to Malaga and take trains and go and watch those games. They wear green and white. It's one of those great moves. And it's seen in the last day, 24 hours, 48 hours, when the West Ham interest kind of fell through. Obviously, Betis pushed for it and managed to get the deal done. But there also was interest from Fulham and from Everton and from Porto. He's obviously made a big decision. He's 24 years old. He's coming into like the next period of his career. He's broken out internationally. Now, can he do it for not a big European club, but a pretty good European club? And we're going to be able to watch him pretty much every week as well.
And remember, you can listen to The Green Scene for free each and every week on YouTube and in your OCB football podcast feed. Tottenham have agreed a fee of £85 million to buy Savinho from Manchester City. They'll pay initially £75 million, but there could be some add-ons. Spurs also remain in talks with City over a deal for striker Omar Marmoush. The North London club have spent more than £180 million already this summer. Mikel Arteta says Arsenal will need to show a ruthless side this season as every team looks to take down the Premier League champions. They begin their title defence at home to newly promoted Coventry City tonight. Arteta has warned his players to expect surprises along the way, but says the squad is ready for the challenge ahead.
More excited than ever, hungrier than ever, and I cannot wait to start the Premier League at home in front of our supporters and have a great performance and win the match.
Meanwhile, Ezri Konsa has been confirmed as an Arsenal player. The England defender has completed his £51 million move from Aston Villa to the champions. Konsa's 4-year deal did not go through in time for him to play later, so his first game could be against his old club Aston Villa on Monday, August 31st. As the Premier League returns tonight, so do Coventry City after a 25-year absence from the top flight. Frank Lampard takes his newly promoted side for a tough opening assignment at the Emirates. Lampard says his players must go there with belief if they're to show their back amongst English football's elite.
I want the performance to be good. I want the character of the team to be shown, because what we did last year was show it across the whole course of the season, but it's in the Championship. I want to go and show that we can do that with the level going up and be brave to go there, because the Emirates is not easy at any point.
Kick-off in North London is at 8 o'clock. Refereeing chief Howard Webb hopes Premier League rule changes will improve the spectacle this season by keeping the ball in play for longer. Measures designed to speed up goal kicks, throw-ins and substitutions have been introduced. Webb believes they will help increase the tempo and entertainment value of matches.
Most of the changes this season are focused around maintaining momentum in the game, dealing with delaying tactics and those kind of tactics that people kind of get frustrated by, that when the ball goes out of play, it doesn't come back in as quickly. So we've got some new tools for the referees to use.
Manchester United manager Michael Carrick says his team face a whole new step if they're to challenge for the Premier League title this season. Carrick helped them finish the last campaign strongly in third position after he replaced Ruben Amorim at Old Trafford. The United boss doesn't want to put pressure on his players by calling them title contenders.
It's going to be a jump. I mean, I said to you, whatever I say, it doesn't really matter, you know. Whether I say we can or we can't. Oh, I would never say we can't, by the way. I don't believe that. But whatever I say is, it's about what we do, you know, and what we can do, what we're capable of doing, what we believe we can do as a group.
Hull boss Sergei Yakirovich understands why many are tipping his side for relegation as they prepare for their Premier League return against Manchester United tomorrow lunchtime. They secured promotion through the playoffs and begin life back in the top flight with a daunting home opener. Yakirovich says his players can use the outside negativity as motivation and turn it into a positive season.
Motivation for sure, and also we don't have anything to lose. You're playing for yourself, you show your potential on the pitch, and 11v11, and we know also our pros and cons, so we will try to hide these cons.
Chelsea manager Xabi Alonso has praised the leadership qualities of João Pedro, who is close to signing a new deal at Stamford Bridge. The 24-year-old striker has been rewarded for a strong first year at the club. Alonso says Pedro sets a great example with his focus and desire.
He's not just a great player. He has a great personality. And I think that his development as a great player and as a leader is very noticeable in every day in each game.
Bournemouth boss Marco Rosa has praised the club's hierarchy for sticking by their promises in the transfer window. Manchester City, Chelsea and Manchester United have all shown an interest in midfielder Alex Scott, but he remains with the club going into the opening weekend of the Premier League season. Rosa, who's replaced Andoni Iraola in the dugout this summer, says they've done the right thing so far.
The club decided to not sell anyone, and I think it's a smart decision. This was part of the talks when I came here. And everything came like we spoke about.
Liverpool take on Newcastle United at St James's Park on Sunday afternoon in the second of our live Premier League commentaries of the new season. Proceedings kick off with Bournemouth's meeting with Manchester City. That's at 2 o'clock on Sunday, live and off the ball. And with question marks over this new Liverpool side under Andoni Iraola, Dion Fanning joined Owen Sheehan on the football show and questioned whether one of the Reds' biggest signings from last summer, Florian Wirtz, is cut out for the physicality of England's top division.
There are question marks over Isak. Still, I think there are even bigger question marks over Florian Wirtz, and Iraola has played them as essentially a front two in pre-season, and that looks like how he's going to play. And I think that is going to lead to huge problems, you know, defensively for Liverpool.
Why is that?
Because I think Isak playing as a front two, and you know, they're going to have a huge amount of pressure on the two centre midfielders behind him. He's playing a kind of number 10, so he's playing in a sort of attacking midfield role. And who will, you know, they will presumably have two wide attackers as well. So you've kind of got four attackers. I think it's just a huge amount of pressure.
Could the expectation not be that in the post-Salah world, you'll get a lot more defensively from your wingers, particularly on the right-hand side?
Possibly you will, but I think. But the point I would say about Wirtz, I don't know if he is equipped. I think if you're going to do that, you need the players who are in those attacking positions to be sure they're going to deliver for you the way you need them to deliver. And that, and I don't see it with him. I see him like. There is nothing. I think Liverpool fans are kind of wishing into existence a version of Wirtz that isn't there. And he just doesn't have that ultimate power or ultimate energy and conviction to actually deliver those kind of game-changing moments. And I think that's a huge problem if you're going to put him in that central position where so much depends on him. Now maybe he'll do enough in terms of feeding Isak and doing those kind of things to make it worthwhile. But I would feel you need to see a big transformation in him this year, and a transformation that would be the equivalent maybe of sort of, you know, Mo Salah's first year in the Premier League at Chelsea, and then what he'd learned from that when he came back with Liverpool, or even as if you read the Melissa Reddy book, you know, she details even as he was at Chelsea what he realised about how he had to kind of change physically or get stronger physically, something Wirtz has done, but now Wirtz needs to bring that sense of determination.
Violence.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
And remember, you can listen to that back in full in your OTB Football podcast feed now. And to not miss a single second of our Premier League coverage, why not become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Rangers have a narrow 1-0 lead against Czech side Jablonec after their first leg of their Conference League playoff. But manager Derek McInnes says it wasn't an easy watch.
You get the punters up, they're singing, they're getting behind the team. They said, here we go. And we inexplicably make one or two little wrong errors of judgment, and we have to defend a corner, and it brings an anxiety again.
Brighton were held to a goalless draw by Tromso in Norway. Motherwell lost 3-1 at home to Freiburg, while Hearts and Rapid Vienna drew 2-2. Owen Elding missed a penalty as Hibs drew 0-0 with Ghent in Belgium. That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. We'll be back with more next week.
Off the Balls, Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.